This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Wake up to a friendly rooster crowing. I know some of you listening to us in the great state of Iowa and many other places and live on farms. Farms are beautiful things if that's what you do and choose to do. But when you live in a suburban area, hearing a rooster crowing to wake you up, that would not be fun. Luckily, I live in an incredible new neighborhood. Love so far. Everybody in the community is just so welcoming. The street that has the roosters crowing is down the way and around the corner. So it just means when I walk the dog, I have to walk really, really fast. What a way to kick off this show. Hey. My name is Kate Delaney. If you've joined us for the first time, welcome. I trust it'll get better. Trust me, it'll get better. I promise you. And if you've been here for a long time, you know the way we roll. So a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it's just what we call a microcosm of what we're seeing in our lives. What's the buzz in your backyard and mine? Some of it has to do always with the weather, the prediction that the temperatures are going to be hot, hot, hot Memorial Day weekend, triple-digit temperatures, and then some thunderstorms. Some of you are already experiencing that terrible drought conditions in the West, so that's not good when you think of the possibility of lightning and thunder just in New Mexico and Colorado and West Texas. And it's odd because just having lived for 15 years in Texas, at the beginning of the year, 0% drought. Zero. Now, 30% in what they call an exceptional drought. And some areas, it is very, very high and dry. Corpus Christi is one of those places. Just to give you an example, they have recorded the third driest February-May period to date in 136 years of records. Wow. That tells you something. This is when you do the rain dance. You pray for rain. Please, please, rain. More than just a dry thunderstorm. But some people will see some rain, but you're going to see some high temperatures where we're talking about high 90s, in the 100s, for example. All you have to do is look at a weather map and you see just extreme red, and you know, yeah, it's going to be hot. Just bring that water with you. Tote the water. That's one thing I've learned, right? You just have one of those containers, it's filled, it's cold, no problem, and you're good. Now, for me, with the roosters, I don't think I would throw the water at the roosters, but if I got caught in a situation and I had to, like, throw the bottle toward them and run with the dog, I guess I could do that, because I don't know what you do if a rooster spots you, and I'm assuming they can be pretty fast. If you have any suggestions on that, hit me up in the mailbag, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Here's one that was a surprise to me. The former Vice President Mike Pence is hinting that he could run in 2024, regardless if Donald Trump, the former president to his vice presidency, runs. So he's said that. He's in Georgia supporting the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, and he's been asked these questions, and he's kind of tiptoeing around it, but he's not saying no, and he's hinting that that's a real, real possibility. Would that even be a challenge for Donald Trump? I think it'd be intriguing to watch what happens on the Republican side with DeSantis saying, the governor of Florida, that he certainly is interested. I mean, how many others out there keep on pushing and saying they want to run the next time around on the Republican ticket, and before you know it, that'll be here, because it just seems like in between presidential years when you're going into to vote, to see, even though it's 4 years, it seems like it's quicker than that. That's how life is. I think I have a theory. Once you're out of the schoolyards, you know, when you're running around like a maniac screaming, ah, and you're getting on the slide and you're flinging around on whatever gym bars or whatever else they have in playgrounds. Now they have things that I can't even identify, but whatever they are, when you're through those years, all of a sudden everything starts to sail. Somebody told me the days are long, but the years are short. So the hint of running in 2024, if he's got campaign people around him, which I assume he does, he'll have a staff just like in the past, then the idea is start to chum the waters. Put it out there as bait and see what happens. See if it comes back and what the reaction to that is. As far as the Ukraine is concerned, it's worth an update here because there's a concern, I think, among many that the U.S. will get deeper involved, will put boots on the ground. Will there be American soldiers that will be there? Because we really don't have that now. And so far the answer from the Pentagon is a no, no, and no. And just a reassurance again, to kick off a Monday, from General Mark Milley, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that, yes, there are some low-level planning conversations underway, but we're still a ways away from any possible decision on whether to reintroduce troops into Ukraine. Because remember, Biden withdrew American troops from Ukraine before Russia's invasion to avoid a direct conflict with the a nuke-armed adversary of ours. But have the circumstances changed? Look, there's the reopening of the U.S. Embassy. That just happened a couple of weeks ago. And there is no timetable for reintroducing forces. And the president would have to make that kind of a decision. There would have to be backup for that. The Pentagon is helping Ukraine by sharing intelligence information, by sending weapons. And I think it's going to stay that way. It's 3 months, at least in the near future, it's 3 months of this Russia invasion. Can you believe it? Talking about time flying. I mean, this is high stakes. And it just gets worse as the days go on and go on and go on and go on. Sharing the Harpoon missiles, sharing tanks, I mean, you know, sending them, in other words, and any intel, any information is great. And it's not just the U.S. doing it. There are others that are doing it, too. In fact, 50 defense leaders from around the world met on Monday and agreed to send more advanced kind of weapons to Ukraine, like that Harpoon launcher I mentioned, and missiles to protect the coast, because that's where the struggle is right now. That's where they've got to really beef up. And what can they do when you have Russia, which has ships in the Black Sea, and they've used them to launch cruise missiles into Ukraine? And the Russian ships have also stopped all commercial ship traffic from coming into Ukrainian ports. That means food, other goods, all the critical things that they would need. So these donations are critical, and they're helping. Coming up, introducing you to author Richard Byrd.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Is Just a Thought, Book 2. Richard Berg joins us. Richard, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate.
What made you start down this path of writing?
Well, Kate, when I was 15, I started writing quotes, you know, off and on, but I didn't share them with anybody until Facebook and Instagram, you know, came to scene in about 2017, and I started posting a few of my quotes on those media sites, and people were saying things like they really appreciate my quotes. You know, my quotes fit exactly what they were going through that day. And one lady even told me, said, I could use this in my relationship, you know. And so after that, what I did, I did a rough draft of a book with about 100 quotes in it, and I took it around like to the public, different people that I didn't know, you know, strangers from 15 to 75, and they really liked it too, but it really didn't hit me until I prayed on it, you know, to get confirmation if I should do this. I was going to buy a truck from Ford deal, and I was sitting in the finance director's office, and I had my rough draft with me, so I was talking to her, and I said, hey, I was thinking about writing a book. I said, would you like to take a look at it? I'd like to see what you think, if you don't mind. And she said, yeah, sure, Richard. So she looked at like about 10 quotes, and then she said, Richard. I said, yes. She said, where were you at 6 months ago? And I said, what do you mean? She said, because if my son had this book 6 months ago, he may not have committed suicide. And that just blew me away. And from then on, I had no choice but to start looking into how to get a book published.
So what an interesting thing that she told you that, meaning that it would be inspiring, it would make them make somebody feel better, because you have different kinds of quotes. It's not just one particular area. So tell us some of the quotes that are in the book.
Well, I have a couple favorites. On page 48, the quote says, "It's not what we look at that matters, but what we see beyond sight, beyond the material. It lives within, and so many are without." You know, and all my quotes are just a thought, because, like, what I would get out of this quote myself is a relationship with God. But, you know, someone else may get something else, you know. So just a thought, you know, gives everybody the initiative to self-examine themselves or see what they see in the writings. And I have another one here, like, procrastination swallows time like water running down the drain, just a thought. You know, and I look at that and I say, you know, like putting things off. Before you know it, those opportunities fade away, you know. But who to say what someone else would see in it? You know, I have one more on page 68. Say, "You may think that things are falling apart instead of noticing them falling into place." You know, I believe sometimes things are taken away to make room for something better. You know, and, you know, these quotes come to me, you know, at the spirit of the moment kind of thing. It's almost like I get insight from somewhere, because I don't have to think about it. Something's happening around me, or maybe I'm having a conversation with somebody, and, you know, something pops into my mind, so I jot these things down as I go.
Yeah, wow. So you had so many quotes that you did one book, and then you did another book.
Yes, you know, I did the first book, and, you know, I got so many good reviews on it. You know, I had to go ahead and do another one, you know, just, you know, me, myself, I like to challenge myself. So I did the other book to see if I even get, you know, see if what kind of response I get from doing the book two, which my second book, evidently, I've done a little bit better, because I put both of them in the same contest with Pacific Book Review, and I won 2020 Best Inspiration for Pacific Book Review. So, and I'm thinking about doing a third and a fourth, which I have thousands of these quotes, but I only put 100 in a book because I don't want to overwhelm anybody, you know, or put too much. And I like for it to be able to be comfortable enough with you to carry anywhere.
And the quotes are things, like you said, that just come to you. They could be, your examples were interesting examples, like one talking about procrastination or what people could feel in different moments. And the idea is that you hope people walk away inspired or find something out of your quotes. What do you hope people walk away with?
Well, I hope that my quotes serve a purpose to elevate, you know, each individual into their own unique direction. You know, it's like I use myself for example, because, you know, when I was younger, a teenager and everything like that, and growing up, you know, I didn't really have anybody to go to actually tell what was going on with me, you know, to try to get my focus together, you know. And sometimes I think my quotes resonates in the reader's mind where they kind of self-examine themselves, you know, and it helps them along in their daily living.
Yeah, and what a great thought. What a great place to end this. Helping you along in your daily living, Just a Thought, book two, and the first book is out there as well on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Richard Byrd, thank you.
Thank you, Kate, and I really appreciate the interview.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too.
Coming up on the show, an interesting conversation with John Ahrens, and plus, I've got the wrap with Just the Facts, so we're not done yet. I want to talk about the world's greatest casino, and that would be the market. S&P 500, the Dow and NASDAQ, recovering a little bit of the shaky ground ahead of the Fed meeting. And what does that mean? So on Monday, there have been weeks and weeks of decline that ended the bull market that began in March of 2020, tremendous couple of years. The S&P has slid up 1.9%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 2%. NASDAQ 1.6%.
And part of that is banks, technology stocks. They made some big moves. Concerns about inflation, though, have been hitting the market like a tsunami and have kept major indexes in this slump. So now we're seeing some good reports and a jump in some of the financial forecasts, and good news stokes the markets, bad news crushes the markets, and it depends on what kind of stocks that we're talking about. But inflation's impact on businesses and consumers, that's the key for the market. I mean, that's the biggest worry. So the Federal Reserve's attempt to temper the impact by aggressively raising interest rates, that's the question mark. Inflation brought on because of a big supply and demand that has disconnected massively has worsened because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the impact on energy prices, supply chains hurt by the lockdowns in China, and for several major cities facing COVID-19 cases, and that has hit the United States. Investors worried that the central bank could go too far in raising rates or move too quickly. So on Wednesday, we're going to get a glimpse into the Fed and what their decision-making process will be. They're going to release minutes from the latest policy-setting meeting, and that'll give you an idea of what, you know, take us to the room. I want to be in the room where it happens. Well, we'll get to be in the room, so to speak, as to what were the decisions that were made, how were they made. And look, Wall Street will get some updates this week, economically speaking, from, of course, the Commerce Department. Thursday, they're going to release a report on first quarter gross domestic product. And Friday, data on personal income and spending for April. So I think be prepared to go in a couple of different directions, perhaps with whatever that info is. But that's the markets, right? All right. I gotta end this on a funny note. And this is a story you might have heard about, you might not have heard about it, but I think it's pretty hilarious. A 2-year-old Texas boy ordered 31 McDonald's cheeseburgers when his mom wasn't looking. So what happened was Kelsey Burkhalter Golden put out on her Facebook that he had placed the order on DoorDash, and she said, "I have 31 free cheeseburgers for McDonald's if anyone's interested." She said, "Apparently my 2-year-old knows how to order DoorDash," and she posted a photo of her son with the cheeseburgers. She put it on there because she had to do something with the burgers. Somebody suggested dropping them off at a food bank. Another said, "What about the neighborhood?" I just wonder about the 2-year-old. It's crazy. And seeing the photo of him with all those cheeseburgers was hilarious. What does the future hold for us? My, oh my. John Aaron's up next.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden is on his first Asian trip as president, and he made one of the most forceful presidential statements in support of Taiwan's self-governance in decades.
You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
The White House walked back that comment. An official said the president was not outlining a change in U.S. policy towards Taiwan. More high-tech weapons are headed to Ukraine. Nearly 50 defense leaders from around the world agreed to send more advanced weapons to the besieged country. Some of the arsenal includes a harpoon launcher and missiles to protect its coast. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley says there are low-level discussions happening on how the U.S. may need to adjust its training of Ukrainian forces. This is USA Radio News. North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn is being investigated by the House Ethics Committee. The Republicans accused of having a conflict of interest in a cryptocurrency he promoted and had an improper relationship with a staff member. The freshman lawmaker was ousted in last week's primary. The former attorney general of Pennsylvania was sentenced to 2 months to a year in jail for violating parole. Kathleen Kane was the first woman and the first Democrat elected to the AG position in the Keystone State. She quit after being convicted in 2016 for leaking grand jury material to embarrass a rival. Kane was arrested in March for drunk driving. She was given credit for time already served and was scheduled to be paroled directly into resident rehab. The bulls continue to run Wall Street. The major indexes started the week on an up note Monday. The Dow gained 618 points. The Nasdaq added 181. The S&P 500 rose 72 points. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Well, he's perhaps one of the more interesting people that I have spoken to lately, and he's written, his latest novel is The Maltese Cross Mystery. He's got a character that now, this is the third novel that his detective, Martin Taylor, is part of, and the main character is just wonderful, a Melbourne-based detective. And the stories all involve the detective traveling to places around the world that you will then want to go to. And they're places that John Ahrens has lived in, traveled to, spent some time in, has more knowledge about it probably than you and I, understands their customs. And these novels, all of them, including the latest, Maltese Cross Mystery, will pull you in, and that's the definition of a story well told with a really thought-out character. John, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Nice to speak with you, too.
So you've had really an interesting life so far, because there's much more to come, I'm certain of it. But you were born and raised in Melbourne, Australia, and you were an engineer. And did all kinds of things in the engineering world, had the ability to travel many, many times, and see some amazing places. And I think that now has come to the front of your brain and has created this writer in you. Did you ever think that this would be what you would end up doing the last, you know, 4 or 5 years?
No, definitely not. As a child at school, I used to tell stories to the class, and the teacher used to get me to stand up in front, and I had these made-up stories that they enjoyed. And when I was about nine, an uncle of mine who was visiting for dinner one night at our place, he sat me on his knee, and he asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I said I wanted to be a writer because of my experience at the school, you see. And he said to me, there's no money in that, son. He said, go and do something else, you know, go to university or be an engineer or something else, but don't be a writer. So I put it aside, and all these years later, I'm now doing what I wanted to do when I was nine.
Wow, so full circle. I love that. We'd be remiss. I mean, we could talk all day long about travel, and I have that same interest as you do. I certainly have not been to half the places that you've been to. But in traveling around the world, what was that like, having that opportunity, first of all, the first time around at a very young age?
Well, I had prior to making that first trip around the world, in Australia at that time, we had ships coming in two or three times a week, bringing migrants escaping the horrors of their country, what was left of them after the Second World War. And we used to go down to Port Melbourne and look at these beautiful big ships coming in and unloading all these people. And then when they would return to Europe, they would take young Australians traveling. Because Australia is sort of so remote to the rest of the world, it doesn't have any borders with any other countries. The young people here have always wanted to go and see other countries, you know, and I was one of those. And we used to go down and watch the ships, and we'd see people throwing streamers and, you know, when the ships were ready to leave. And a cousin of mine that used to come with me would say, one day we're going to be on that ship, you know, that's heading back to the other side of the world. So the moment I'd saved up enough money to buy the fares with my best friend, we headed off. And that was an amazing trip. We went to Europe, we bought a car, we traveled from one end of Europe to the other. We went back to England, we spent some time there. And then we flew to the United States. My friend had some relatives in New York, and we visited them. And then we hip-hopped across the U.S., had a fantastic time. We were in Hawaii when they were celebrating being the 50th state, which was very exciting. And flew back to Australia, and my wish then was to save up again and to travel again. In the meantime, I met my wife. I met the lady that became my wife, and I used to be telling her, oh, when Dario, my friend, and I were in Italy, we did this, and when we were in France, we did that, and we saw this. And one night she said to me, I don't want to hear secondhand about these places, I want to see them myself. So we decided then and then we'd take off, which we did. And I, at the time in Australia, I had been working for a Dutch company that was building and works at the oil refineries and chemical plants. And they told me that if I go to Holland, they would find a job in one of their divisions over there. So I thought, well, that's a nice start. So we actually booked a passage on a ship that finished in Rotterdam. So arriving in Holland, this company had already told their head office that we were coming. They had a house for us and a job for me in Amsterdam. And so I started work in a drawing office in Amsterdam. And we moved into this little house within the town of Utrecht, a university town. Very nice place. And we were quite happy. We had no real plans, but this was a nice start. And then one morning we went to Rotterdam to do some shopping, and we were walking along the street and bumped into this American that I'd met in Australia the year before working on a project there. And he said, what are you doing here? And I told him, and I said, what are you doing there? He said, oh, we're over in Holland to build a plant, and we've got an office running in Rotterdam at the moment. Come and see us on Monday. And that was the start. I went to see them. They offered me a position, and I worked for them for a year in Holland. And then they said, would you migrate to the United States so we can have you work over there? So we applied for immigration. And that took, would you believe, another year. So they employed me in England in the meantime. And we eventually got our immigration visas. We moved to New York. And then the rest is history, because I worked for them for the next 9 years, and they kept sending me around the world.
Wow, that is a rough life, let me tell you, John. And the time in Holland, by the way, in the second novel, you'll recognize that, because you'll want to go and read that, The Docklands Mystery. And he, as I said, his adventures and where he lived all become part of what he writes about in these novels with this character, Martin Taylor. So tell us about the Maltese Cross Mystery. What is the focus of this story and adventure for the detective?
Okay. In the first two novels, he was a detective with the police here in Melbourne. Okay, he was a police officer and a senior detective. But in the third novel, he's decided, because he's made a name for himself around the world as being an expert in solving crimes related to art, and he is contacted by a Californian policeman that he met in the first novel when he was in Spain on a conference, saying that this Californian policeman had a cousin who was head of the New York Police Department. And they had a robbery of these very valuable objects that belonged to a Maltese cathedral that were on display in New York, and they were stolen. And they wanted someone outside the New York Police Department to help solve the crime. So he was contacted by the police commissioner in New York, and offered this position. And I'm not going to tell any more, because people have to read the story. But
that is called a tease. That's good.
And he had quite an adventure from there on. And yeah, because he got to see New York, he'd never been there before. And he runs up against a very big criminal organization, which is a well-known one.
It's fascinating. So I would say that you told us there's a reason why you read these, because you get pulled into the character, you get pulled into the stories, which is so much of what your travel is. Now you're writing your memoirs. We can't wait to see what happens with that. We have like a minute left, John. What do you hope people take away from reading your novels?
Because they basically are really travel books. You know, I'm the first to admit that. I mean, they're crime novels, but they really are a lot about traveling. And that's what I hope people take away from it. The countries that I've lived in, traveled in, wonderful meeting people from these other countries. It's a wonderful world out there. Once this pandemic is behind us and people can move freely around the world again, I think it'll be just wonderful.
I think it's a perfect place to end this. Absolutely. You make everybody want to travel when we read your books. The Maltese Cross Mystery, that's the latest, John Ahrens. You can find that easily on Amazon. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much, Kate.
completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Close out tonight's show with just the facts. Wow. Because I'm in a new home and I'm looking for certain types of things to be done in the house, right? And I appreciate good carpentry. I appreciate plumbers. I appreciate people who love their craft and frankly are good at it. And I was thinking today about carpenters, and I happened to see this on The Hustle in just the facts, as I know them to be true. I was looking at some of the statistics and where we are nationally. If you go back to 2018, there was a survey by the National Association of Home Builders, and it showed that 90% of single-family builders reported a shortage of rough carpenter subcontractors. And even the most recent poll from last November, the numbers were even higher from the National Association of Home Builders, because they're finding it harder to hire a couple of different types of carpenters more than any other in the building trade. And you know what they are? Framing, 94%. That's the percentage of U.S. builders reporting shortages of subcontractors, 94%. Carpenters, so rough carpenters, they call them, 93%. Finishing carpenters, 90%. Even looking at the other shortages, bricklayers, 84%. Plumbers, 83%. I mean, I could go on and on. I was walking the dog today, and I saw an electrician go by, and I wish I'd had my phone because I was going to take a snapshot. Ooh, maybe this is a good electrician. I'm trying to get to know the neighborhood, and somebody could recommend someone. But 82%.
And like I said, the list goes on and on. I dealt with a roofer last year who did such a great job on the roof. 72% shortages. And, you know, why is that? Because when the job market tanked on them, many found other professions. I mean, that's an iffy just the fact because some stayed and worked through it, but there were plenty that did not stay. And then it's, you know, are they disenfranchised? What are they making? What are the jobs? And now the jobs, I would think, if you were really skilled, would be incredible because people are desperate to hire you. And you think about painters, roofers, drywall installers, cement masons, all of that. I mean, these are skills. Some of these skills I wish I had, frankly, but it's too late to teach this old dog new tricks. So, but I had an uncle who was in the construction business, and because of him, they built out my room and my brother's room, and I can remember Uncle John coming over with his partner and doing it, and they knew how to do it. They had it done, I think, within 2 weeks or something. It was really, really well done and quickly done. And there is a skill to that, absolutely. Let's hope that it comes back. I mean, let's hope that more people decide they're going to go back into it. But it's tough when you have a family to feed and then people reverse course or lumber's too expensive or whatever happens to projects. And that's just one aspect of what I just mentioned there. Yeah. Here's one that's a shocker, just the facts. For the first time since 1976, U.S. economic growth is expected to outpace China. So did you hear what I just said? Outpace China because they've been crushing us. Part of this is because of COVID lockdowns. China's GDP is only expected to grow 2%. And for the United States, listen, it's not incredible, but it's 2.8%. And we were talking about such different numbers maybe 3-4 years ago. Yeah. We just celebrated National Nursing Day, and I can't say enough about great nurses. If you've ever been in the hospital or you've been to visit a family member in the hospital, nurses are critical. They are. I have a favorite cousin. She works at CHOP, Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania, and she's really skilled, and she works with some really skilled people in the neonatal unit. And boy, those families depend on those nurses with their little babies who may survive, may not survive. And there's all kinds of different nurses. And I've known people who have been nurses. But nursing burnout has hit 50% since the beginning of the pandemic, which is costly for hospitals and, of course, workers, too. And so how do you fix that? And I think so much of it is because of what they had to deal with. You want to talk about burnout when they were working so many hours and they got families, or even if they're single, it doesn't matter. I mean, how many hours can you work? There's a woman that's at the University of Pittsburgh, and she's trying to put together more wellness programs, right? How do you avoid the turnover rate? And most of the turnover rate, apparently, or a lot of it anyway, is because nurses are burned out. So 17% of this annual turnout rate, a big chunk of it is because of that. When you have a turnover rate of higher, 20 to 30%, well, you can only imagine. So what do you think the cost of turnover is for a nurse? A bedside RN, $40,000 plus. So how do you get that resilience? And part of the resilience is they got to have time off. They got to have time for themselves. And they have to, I mean, you know, find the time to have the gratitude, but find the time to find the light, for goodness sake. So there was already burnout that was there before COVID, but I think it highlighted it even more. I mean, listen, there's burnout across the board in almost every single field. How do you get the flow back? How do you bounce back and get that resilience back? It's just so critical because we need good nurses. Nobody wants to be in the hospital and not be able to find a nurse when you really need them. And that's when you realize what the difference is when you have a really good nurse. You see it with hospice nurses. Huge, huge difference there. All right, what a shocker. If you watch any Tube at all and you're into like the Law and Order franchise or Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, Chicago, or FBI. I didn't even realize this. Chicago Fire is ending its 10th season. 10 seasons. Chicago PD
is in its ninth season. What? And I haven't watched any of those, by the way. I'm a Law and Order person. Chicago Med, seventh season. Law and Order, 21 seasons and two spinoffs. Law and Order SVU, which is 23rd season. Law and Order Organized Crime just started in its second season. And Dick Wolf, we all see his name. He's the mega producer who had struck gold a long time ago, but just keeps on hitting gold. I guess he just signed a deal in 2020, a couple years ago, a five-year deal, just the facts, with NBC Universal-owned Universal Television. It's worth about $1 billion. But imagine what he is pulling in with those franchises that people can't get enough of. He just is the home run hitter. He is. He's the one they must just turn to and say, you know what? We got a problem here on Wednesday night. Is it Wednesday night? Let's get Dick Wolf. Can we get Dick Wolf on the phone? What can he possibly spin off or create? And good for him. Because if they're making that money, he should be making that money. I'm a capitalist. If you're making them money, you should be making the money too. It was just earlier in the day, I was thinking about this, Bonnie and Clyde. You're like, why are you thinking about Bonnie and Clyde? Because there was that movie that came on TV. So Bonnie and Clyde, if you go back in history, in 1934, they were killed by police in Louisiana in 1934. So in 1967, the movie I talked about, Bonnie and Clyde, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway portrayed the couple. That movie still holds up, by the way, if you don't know anything about Bonnie and Clyde. I was fascinated by them. I don't know why. I think it was something that came up when I was in high school about what they did and, you know, the crime spree, and it was in some civics class, I think, that I had, and that they were trying to make a correlation. But anyway, it turned me on to that movie, which I think was really super, super interesting. I mentioned this on the show, and a bunch of you have hit me up through the miracle of the internet. So it is true. This is just the facts. You can order 8 more free COVID tests from the government. If you need to get a COVID test instead of paying for the COVID test, because goodness knows you probably pay enough in taxes and this is your money, you can have them delivered. And how do you order them? You just go to the special USPS website and you place your order for the test. And they'll tell you when it's going to be delivered. They come in a couple of different packages. Just look that up. Just go to their site and then put in COVID test, and they'll tell you when they're going to arrive. Yes, absolutely. You know, do it. File a request. It's easy to do. And again, it is our taxes at work. So get the test so you do not have to pay for them. If you feel like you were exposed to COVID or you need to test yourself because of where you work or blah, 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 a bazillion reasons why. All right, we're out of time. Once again, thanks to all of you for really pumping up this show and hit me up through the internet, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, and all my fabulous affiliates in Radio Land. Thank you as well.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.